Well, amen. Sure good to be with you, my wife and I. We look forward to this place. We had it on our calendar and look forward to each day. I think it was approximately 2 years ago since we were able to be here. And so here we are. I hope you ladies survived yesterday and my wife didn't preach too hard to you and everything with that. So we're glad to be here, and she enjoyed so much being with all the ladies and getting kind of refreshed with getting to rehash different things and get to us up to date with everything, with everybody. And we just look forward to a great time here this week. And we had opportunity while the ladies were here having the ladies meeting to be with Pastor Campbell over in the house and get to know one another pretty good. And like you said, you know, sometimes, you know, in our circles, gets pretty, you know, you get to know this person and it gets to be kind of a small circle and everything. And so I enjoyed it so much. I know that probably most of you, they sought to get off, and I believe they got off about 1 o'clock yesterday, hoping to get to Cheyenne yesterday and then up to Idaho. And pray for them as they have a great trip, looking forward to it. I know it's a special time for them to be with their son. And so pray for them this week that the Lord will bless them greatly. Now, we're going to be in John chapter 14. Very familiar passage of Scripture. It is not by accident time that folks use this so many times at funeral services. It is the Lord Jesus Christ himself telling about his upcoming death, and it would not be very long in the future from John chapter 14. And so this message becomes something that is both powerful and comforting at the same time. It's convicting and yet brings the compassion of Christ to every believer and every person that knows the Lord Jesus Christ, and gives conviction and direction to those who may not know Jesus Christ as their Savior. And so if you're there in John chapter 14, we'll read the first 6 verses today in that familiar passage of Scripture. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will, look at that, what a promise, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And whither I go, you know, and the way, you know. And Thomas, sometimes it's hard to just say his name without usually what we accompany with Thomas, and it is what? What's the word we usually, doubting Thomas. And here he is, and he doesn't want to just accept things. He wants to see. He wants to know that the truth is there. And he said, Thomas saith unto him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest. How can we know the way? What a clear answer. What a powerful answer. Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Father, we're thankful for these powerful yet comforting words. We're thankful, Lord, that you have given us promises that exceed anything of this world. And Lord, today help us as we try to rightly divide the word of truth today, in a way that I pray that you will speak, Holy Spirit. Do a work that I can never know needs to be done. Maybe there's even someone here that does not know the Lord Jesus Christ as personal Savior. May you speak to that heart today. And I know that wherever we go, whatever situation we may find, we find people with troubled hearts. Speak to our troubled hearts at times, that we might find that clear and comforting direction of Christ. For it's in your name that we ask and pray. Amen. Christ was gathered here in what was called the Passover Chambers with his disciples. we're not surprised that he begins a message like this. If we were in just for a moment, we're going to go a few preceding passages of Scripture that came before the first verse here in chapter 14, where he makes this statement. And again, this is a statement we're going to kind of press towards today with the message. Let not your heart be troubled. Sometimes that's just kind of a cliche thing that goes out there. Sometimes people kind of pat you on the head. Oh, it'll be all right. You know, time will take care of everything. Maybe kind of patronize you a little bit, you know, and everything's going to be fine. But Christ does more than just give us some patronizing words. He gives us words of faith. He gives us words of strength that bear us up and carry us on in the place of our Christian life. If you know the Lord Jesus Christ, your Savior, it doesn't exempt us from trouble, does it? It doesn't exempt us from the things of this world at times that distress us or whatever it may be. And so these words are not some, okay, pat us on the head, everything's going to be all right. These are words of strength. These are words of promise that comes from the Lord. And so when Christ speaks, and he said, let not your heart be troubled, and then he gives us a direction why our hearts should not be troubled, I think we ought to listen. I think these are words that we ought to listen to and heed. And so let's look to begin with. Why, as he speaks to his disciples, does he start out this message, let not your heart be troubled? There are many things in the preceding days that were troubling the hearts and even the minds of the disciples. In fact, let's just go back into John chapter 13 and look at verse 21 to begin with. And there in John chapter 13, verse 21, the Bible said, when Jesus had thus said, he was troubled in spirit. And so he begins in the place, and he was looking at that last Passover, in that place where he will meet with the Lord, he will meet with the disciples there in that Passover chamber. And as he speaks, and he says and testifies, verily, verily, I say unto you, that one of you shall betray me. That statement to his disciples must have come as a shock. And the other passages of Scripture throughout the Gospels say they begin to question themselves. Lord, is it I? Lord, is it I? And each one of them kind of looked in introspectively in their own hearts. Could it be me that would betray the Lord? And so these words and this understanding that they were dealing with there greatly concerned them and troubled their own hearts. And verse 22, then the disciple looked one on another, doubting of whom he spake. And there was leaning on Jesus' bosom one of his disciples whom Jesus loved. We believe, and through many passages of Scripture, that it was the apostle John who's speaking here. And he's there, and he loves, he was kind of leaning on the breast of the Lord, and it was a special time. It was a very close time that the disciples would have with the Lord Jesus Christ. But a troubling time. Verse 24, Simon Peter therefore beckoned to him that he should ask who it should be of whom he spake. He then, lying on Jesus' breast, saith unto him, Lord, who is it? They wanted to know. And as we said earlier, is it me? Jesus answered, and he said, he it is to whom I shall give a sop when I have dipped it. And if you've ever been into some of the Italian restaurants sometimes, you'll understand this. They have a little bowl of oil there and little pieces of bread. That's what you call putting it in and sopping the bread. Mom used to use that term. You sop up the gravy, you know, with your bread. You sop it up there, and then you eat that bread with all the sopped up gravy that's there. And that's what he's speaking of. They're putting in that oil and sopping that up, and that's what he's speaking toward. And give a sop when I have dipped it. When he had dipped the sop, he gave it to Judas Iscariot, the son of Simon. And after the sop, Satan entered into him. Then said to Jesus unto him, that thou doest, do quickly. So now here they are in the Passover chamber. They did not recognize at this time that it was Judas Iscariot. It would not be long before they would realize that. But they were troubled. Who is it? Kind of in their own hearts, is it me that would betray him? A little later on in John chapter 13, we find here is Simon Peter, and he's always kind of at the forefront, and he's kind of that type A personality, and he's going forward with what other people kind of sit back and think in their minds. He's going forward and seeking to say or do that. Verse 36 says, and Simon Peter said unto him, Lord, whither goest thou? Jesus answered him, let me stop there for a moment. John chapter 14 was not the first time that Christ would ever teach about his death, burial, and resurrection. In fact, there are a number of times that he would seek to teach his disciples about his death, burial, and resurrection. But somehow, it wasn't catching. Somehow, they hadn't really grasped the fullness. But Christ was going to make sure that they grasped the fullness, that it was soon, that he would go to Jerusalem. He would die on that cross. He would be buried. And he would raise on that third day from the cross. So Simon Peter said, whither I go, thou canst not follow me. Now, that word now is important, okay? But thou shalt follow me afterwards. Peter said unto him, Lord, why cannot I follow thee now? I will lay down my life for thy sake. There's Peter. Jesus answered, said, wilt thou lay down thy life for my sake? Verily, verily, I say unto thee, the cock shall not crow till thou hast denied me thrice. So now all of these things that just preceded them being in the Passover chamber, imagine their minds and their hearts were buzzed about all the things that were going on and all the wonder and the thinking through all the what's going to happen and what's going to be done. And sometimes I like the question, the why question. And I appreciate how God, how Aaron said that God instructed us with the wisdom of God, that by faith we ask that question. It's not a wrong, it's not a bad question when we are trusting the faith of God. I'm trusting you, Lord. I'm trusting the answer that you're going to give me. But Lord, I don't understand. Why, Lord? And so there, all these things are going through their minds and hearts. It's no wonder then that Jesus comes and says to his disciples, let not your heart be troubled. We, no matter how long we've been saved, there are a lot of things in this world that trouble us. And there are a lot of things that we deal with in a personal life. We're, as we said earlier, we're not exempt from the place of problems just because we're saved. We look at the word trouble. And it is like a turmoil. It's something that is bothering you. It's like the storm. I'll not take the time right now, but I think when here in Mark chapter 4, when the disciples were in the boat and the storm was raising up and they were beating the sides of the boat, and here were the experienced fishermen that knew the Sea of Galilee, and they knew that the storms would come up suddenly, and they had prepared, and they probably had gone through a few storms themselves. But they questioned. And they said to the Lord when they finally found him sleeping, calm, Lord, carest thou not that we perish? And there are Christians at times, and the devil just has his heyday. Carest thou not what I'm going through? Lord, don't you care what I'm dealing with? The troubles of the world are there all the time, like the storms of life that the disciples had pictured. And don't you care about what I'm going through, Lord? Don't you care of what I'm having to face? The troubles of this world sometimes are in relationships. And as a pastor, you know, I've dealt many, many times with whether it be husband and wife or parent and children, or sometimes in a church situation, Christians and Christians, and troubles, and those are relationships and family things. And those things, I mean, they could be hard and difficult to deal with in relationships. And Lord, don't you care? Sometimes it's jobs or finances or whatever it may be, the employment that you might have, or the business, or whatever it may be that you're dealing with. The troubles of our times, and not knowing how this is going to work out, and how all these things, and sometimes even with our president, I won't go in a political direction, but you don't know from day to day what he's going to say or what he's going to do. And sometimes it's troubling. What now? What now has he said? What now is he going to do? And sometimes when you're trying to make a living, you don't know. And it affects you. Sometimes it's your health. We were going through, and I'll not take the time, but last year I dealt with spinal surgery, and I was 3 months without traveling out and preaching, and was in a recliner for about 6 to 8 weeks with a hard neck collar and all that type of stuff. And it was wonderful. I enjoyed no minutes of it at all. But you know, I'd even talk, my son-in-law is my pastor. And we talked, and I asked him, I said, what if I can't go out and preach anymore? What if I can't do those things that God's called me to do? And he patted me on the head and said, it's going to be all right. No. We talked and we prayed together and solved these things. And so, troubles. Let not your heart be troubled about things, and health issues, and maybe spiritual failures. And I know sometimes Christians come to the place and we get discouraged. Lord, I can't believe I said that to somebody I love. I can't believe I did that. I can't believe that I'm just don't seem to be growing in my Christian life. These words are not idle words from the Lord Jesus Christ. When he says, let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God. Believe also in me. So, what is the remedy that the Lord Jesus Christ gives to us in troubled times, in the troubles of our life? I want to look to begin with. The remedy for troubled hearts always begins with the Lord Jesus Christ. In any question spiritually of life, you go back to the place of the source. What is the answer for my trouble? What is the answer for my direction of life? What is the answer for my soul? What is the answer for my spiritual need? It is always Jesus Christ. And when we come back here, look how he addresses it. Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. He is the answer. I remember years ago, in reading, I think it was Spurgeon's letter to his students there. And one of the things that he taught his preacher boys to preach is this. He said, you go into a passage of scripture, and when you get into it, you make sure that you studied it out well. And you make sure that it's scripture speaking and not you in your opinions. You make sure that the scripture speaking, but when you get into the place of scripture, somewhere in that message, you run as fast as you can to Jesus Christ. You bring that message to Jesus Christ. It's not about you. It's not about this or that. It's always about Jesus Christ. And the remedy for troubled hearts and the direction for troubled heart is the place of the Lord Jesus Christ, the place of our troubles, the place of our disagreement. The place is to bring it back to the very source of the spiritual, of where we got saved and how we know for sure. And it's always the Lord Jesus Christ in the place, that person of the Lord Jesus Christ. He when he comes to, I think, with as we come down to what we call oftentimes doubting Thomas. Notice how he handles Thomas at this point. And Thomas has that question, Lord, I don't know where you're going. And I don't know the way. And Christ comes and he uses that term to begin with. The first two words that he uses in answer to Thomas are the words that he uses at least 7 to 8 times throughout the book of John. I am. I am. At least 7 to 8 times, I am the bread of life. And on here in verse 6, he said, I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. He is the way. What is the way as a salvation? How can I know for sure that I'm saved? Jesus gives the way, and I'll come back a little bit to explain for those, most of you probably understand the I am principle, the I am statement that comes here in the book of John of looking towards his deity. But here he comes to the place, and think of this, and people say, well, I don't know how to get to heaven. I don't know the way. Well, Jesus very clearly says this, I, Christ, am the way. The only way to know that you're saved and truly saved is through Jesus Christ. It never comes through a church. It never comes from whatever works that we can do. It never comes to the place of how much knowledge we have. It never comes from any worldly thing. It comes through Christ and Christ alone. And he is the only one that went to the cross of Calvary and suffered. And he became my sacrifice. He became the sin bearer of my sin and your sin. He is the answer to the soul. He is the answer to salvation. He is the answer to eternal life. And there is no other answer. There can be no other answer. I am the way. How can I be sure about this? I am the truth. Bible says another place, the truth shall set you free. Not just an idea, it's not just an opinion. He is truth. He is called at times the very Word of God, the living Word of God. And so as he comes, we look at the place of troubled hearts. Where does the answer begin and actually end with the place of answering the question of our troubled hearts? The Lord Jesus Christ. The I am statement, of course, comes from Exodus chapter 3, when Moses approaches that bush that burned but was not consumed. As he comes closer to that bush that burns and was not consumed, a voice comes out, a powerful, strong voice comes out, and he says, take off your shoes, in other words, your sandals, because the ground that you're standing on is holy ground. Why? Because the very presence of God was there. That's what made it holy. And the very presence of God. And he gives him his calling. He gives him his direction. You're going to deliver my people out of Egypt and eventually into the promised land. My covenant people. You're going to lead them out. He said, I can't even speak good. I relate to those things. I understand that. He doubted himself. Well, I go back there and I'll tell them that I'm the leader and you're supposed to follow me and we're heading out of this place. They're not going to believe me. Why should they believe me? Whom shall I say sent me? And God makes this statement, I am that I am. He doesn't go on and give us 15 pages of what I am means. It just means He is. He is Almighty God. He is all-knowing God. He is all-powerful God. He is the great I am. And so when Christ comes to these statements and He uses that term, I am, it infuriated the religious leaders because they knew what He was talking about, and that's why they wanted to stone Him for blasphemy. And He says here, for troubled hearts, I am. I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. I bring us back today to these words that Christ would use with His own disciples. And we're troubled about a number of things. And they were normal people like you and I. We like to sometimes get a little pious and, oh no, I'm all right. It doesn't bother me. Well, sometimes it does bother us. Let's be honest, sometimes we might want to ask the why question. Lord, I've served you best I can. I don't understand why I'm going through this. I don't understand why I'm having to deal with things this way. So the very first answer, and really the last as well, is He speaks to troubled heart. And the very person of Jesus Christ becomes the answer to the need of our heart. He becomes the direction that He leads us in troubled times and troubled things that we deal with in life that sometimes kind of our minds and our emotions get to going and we're not exactly sure what's going on with that. And so how can I be sure? When He understands these things, the very person of Jesus Christ. I pastored for many years, and I've been in the ministry now 46 years and pastored for 35, maybe a little better than 35 years with that. And so, pastor, I deal quite often with different things and counsel. I was not a huge person to counseling and everything, but as your pastor, you're going to do them. So we counsel about a lot of different things. Not every time, but many times, I would start out a counseling session like this. I'm not the answer to your need, but I can help you to find the answer to your need. I want them to understand they're coming, Pastor, I want your opinion about this. Well, I don't want just my opinion. I want Christ's answer for you. And the understanding, I would oftentimes say that I'm not the answer to your problems. But I can share with you and help you and help you to see the one who is the answer to your problems, who is the answer to your troubles and struggles. And with that, He is the remedy. So first of all, He says, let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. And the very person of Jesus Christ is at the forefront of the message that's here. Second of all, look in verse 2. In my Father's house are many mansions. And notice these next words. If it were not so, I would have told you. In other words, I am promising you some things. The promise doesn't come from me. The promise doesn't come from the most mature Christian. The promise of God comes from Him. This is a book of His promises. This is where we're going to find the answers to our need, the answers to our problems, the answer to the struggles of our heart and the struggles of our life. There's no more powerful truth on the face of the earth than God's truth. Nothing. The Old Testament, he gives us direction through a prophet. Is there anything too hard for me? Is there anything too hard for me? And he looks into the place and there in the book of Isaiah, he speaks of a virgin birth. Is there anything too hard for me? Is there anything that you face that's too hard for God? Is there anything in your life that you're dealing with that's not too hard for God? That he doesn't care? That he doesn't come to the place? God's truth leads us to the place that nothing else can. His promises, his word. He is the God of all creation. He knows you. He knows how your body works. He knows as you grow older that those body, it's not going to work like it did one time. He knows those things. He's the God of all creation. He is all powerful. He's all knowing. He's everywhere present. Time or space, he knows no boundaries of time. He is the eternal God. There are no limits that are upon him. The limits that you and I have to endure day in and day out, he knows none of those limits with them. He's established every law of nature that we deal with. He has proven his ability and his promises throughout generations and thousands of years. Our problems aren't unique. But I'm not saying that it is unimportant to God. It is very important to God. God says, cast every care upon me. Every care upon me. You see, the promises from an almighty God are the direction that troubled hearts need in our life. There's nothing too hard for God. There's nothing that is impossible to God. And if we come to the place throughout the years, and I give just a little illustration here and the understanding. When I was pastoring in Illinois for a while, about 10 years there, and folks that were very, very faithful folks in our church, and they had a tremendous problem with one of their daughters. I mean, it was beyond rebellious. They came and they shared and some of the things that was going on and et cetera, et cetera. And I remember, and years later, we kind of laughed a little bit about that, but talked about this. She said this to me, Pastor, this problem is more serious than just praying and looking into my Bible. And all those things. So, Pastor, what do you have to say about that? Well, I said, well, let's start out with this. Tell me about your family devotions. Oh, we don't have any. Tell me how you as a family learn about God. How's you just rely upon me as your pastor and Sunday school teachers to teach your daughter to love God? Tell me how it's beyond those things that you think are so simple. Sometimes our problems we complicate. Another man years ago, he and his wife were separated, just had struggles and problems of this and that. And I went to visit him and seeing his perspective and his side of the story, and et cetera, et cetera. And he made that statement. He said, Pastor, it's not as simple as you kind of like to present it. It's a lot more complicated than that. And I said to him, you know, the further away from God we get, the more complicated it does get. The closer we get to God, the more directed and simplified it gets. And the more in our life that we get away from God and we get into things this world, these things this world complicate everything and makes it difficult at times to even come back to God, and makes it difficult to come into a church situation, and makes it difficult to get right with one another, and makes it difficult. The further you come away from God and away from His promises, the more and more complicated it gets. And he said, you know, that's right. Yeah, that's true. And I understand that. And so when we come to the place of the very promises of God, there's no more powerful truth than biblical truth. There's not something that's going to deliver your soul and deliver your life like the Bible truths that are found right here. And so he comes to begin with the personal truth of his person. Second of all, the personal truth of the promise of God. And then, and really only then, does he teach about peace. You understand, the peace of God that passeth all understanding, we'll kind of close with that here in just a moment. He says again in verse 2, in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. What a tremendous promise. And whither I go, you know, and the way, you know. And then the great promise at the end, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by God. I think every person who's been a Christian for a while, we sometimes struggle with just that I need to get right and I need to be right with God about some things. And we maybe struggle with it and kind of put it off a little bit. Then somewhere along the line, the Spirit of God and the Word of God speaks to our heart, and I just need to get alone by myself, or I need to get somewhere where I just need to pray and seek God's face about this. And I need to be right with Him. And after, trust that this is something that you're very familiar with. And after you've come and you've taken that time with the Lord, you prayed, you sought His face, you sought forgiveness if that's where it was, you sought that place. And now you come to the place, we're in a day and age when we want all the feeling stuff. Feelings come because of truth and promise. And when you get right with God, and it's more than a feeling, there's peace. Bible teaches two types of peace in the New Testament. A peace with God and a peace of God. The peace with God comes through salvation. The peace of God comes when we pour out our heart in forgiveness and seeking God. In fact, I'll just read it for sake of time. But in Philippians chapter 4 and verse 5, it makes this statement. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And now here's the addition on there. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall do what? Keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Troubled heart, there is a remedy. There is a solution that brings peace, even though the situation may not have somehow disappeared. Even though you may still be going through some of the same things, do you recognize you can have peace and the peace of God in your heart as you deal with the troubles of this world that passeth all understanding? And it's a peace that comes when we're right with God. It's a peace that comes when we go beyond ourselves to try to solve every problem, to try to understand every little detail. Lord, I'm surrendered to you. I'm just going to trust you. I know, God, you have brought me through, and let me say this in the last. Most of us here, as a place of testimony, can look back in your life. And it's not like you've never faced anything before. You say, but not like I'm facing right now. And I get that. I understand. It's not like you've never faced things before as a Christian. And you sought out God. And you sought his face. And you're here today because you are a testimony of God's faithfulness. You're sitting here today rather than out somewhere else, just away from God, in a testimony of faithfulness that God, never easy. It wasn't something that somehow, poof, like a magic wand, everything was gone. But you're sitting here today as a testimony of the faithfulness of God. And you recognize those times and places, and hopefully even right now, where the peace of God is what is leading and strengthening you and helping and becoming that beacon in the place of darkness. A peace of God. Because I have a peace with my God. He shows him the remedies, the person of Jesus Christ. It is the promises of the Word of God, and then the peace that comes from having that relationship with Jesus Christ. Again, we begin with Christ, we end with Christ. He is the answer to your need. He is the answer to your problems and struggles and difficulties you go through. Let not your heart be troubled. I think it was a month or so ago, maybe a couple months. I was preaching up at a church in Cedar Rapids, Iowa. I didn't know. The pastor doesn't give me an outline of everything that's going on in the church and et cetera, et cetera. And I preached, I believe, somewhat of this message in somewhere that direction. Unbeknownst to me, there's a young couple in the church that 2 weeks before this had lost their first child. I think it had been born, right? And I think that the child died after birth. Unbeknownst to me, the pastor called me. He was on a mission trip with folks from the church. He'd called me and he said, "Pastor, thank you for bringing the message to my folks. You did not know this. There's that couple that lost their baby. You did not know this, but a faithful family in our church had been faithful for many years, had left 2 weeks before. Said, you did not know this, that there were two teenagers in our youth group and with another church in town that were plotting the place of taking off and running off together. But God directed in that. Through what? Jesus Christ. He is the answer to a young couple that lost a baby. He is the answer to a church in a place of discouragement because faithful family had left the church. He'd be the answer to the pastor having it, so to speak, with another pastor in the area to kind of chase down these teenagers and bring them back home. Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. Let not your heart be troubled.